The Lord has made, and we're rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. I'm glad about it. So grateful to God for his loving kindness, his tender mercies. And thank you for joining us wherever you are in the world. I always want to give a shout out to all of those who take the time to tune in and just participate in our worship. I hope you're worshiping God right where you are today. I am going to be preaching today from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to talk about the thing that has defeated so many people from becoming everything God wants them to become, and that's fear. I want to talk about getting victory over your fears. And I know everybody's got some fears in their life, and I'm going to give you a message today from 2 Chronicles 20 about getting victory over your fear. God bless you. Have a marvelous week. Worship you this morning. We give you praise and thanks today for your loving kindness and the multitude of your mercies. We thank you for your protection and your power and your might and all that you've done. But we come this morning praying and interceding for one another in the name of the Lord. We pray and ask you in Jesus' name to bless our neighbor, the persons whose hand we hold. We call their name out before your altar, knowing that you know all the intricacies of their challenges in life. We pray today that you would just step into their domain and work a miracle, whatever they stand in the need of. We're joined together to pray for one another as you've commanded us to do. We pray not only for the people in this building, but we pray for our brothers and sisters outside of the walls of this building. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those who watch us, who participate with us through the internet and other means. We pray, God, that you would transcend location and place, be able to minister life, anoint us to be a mouthpiece, save somebody that needs to be saved today, reclaim a backslider, God, restore that person, edify the saints and the believers, and let your name get the glory and the honor. And we thank you ahead of time. We give you the praise, and we count it as a done thing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, you can be seated and open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Reverend Terry has already read this, but I'm going to read it again. Beginning at verse number 1, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, it says, "It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came," somebody say some came, "and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." I want to talk about victory over fear. Somebody say victory over fear. Look at your neighbor and say, you need some victory over fear. Y'all might not want to admit it, but everybody in here got some kind of fear about something. Fear of tomorrow, fear of getting sick, fear of dying, fear of problems, fear of a broken family, fear of losing, fear. We are gripped of fear. Some of you are afraid to witness and testify to somebody because you're afraid of being rejected or whatever. The problem is fear has gripped people and gripped individuals who ought to have confidence and faith in God, but yet we're gripped by fear. And I thought I should talk about this morning. As a matter of fact, I so badly wanted to talk about something else today, but the Holy Spirit kept bringing Jehoshaphat to my mind today and said, I want you to talk about Jehoshaphat. And I must be inclined that somewhere in this sanctuary is somebody who's holding back on a decision, holding back on moving forward, holding back on achieving something that God has assigned to your hands to do, and you're holding back because of fear. Fear of being rejected, being replaced, fear of people that you want to accept, you won't accept you, fear of moving out. And I want to try to bind that devil of fear. It's a demon. Somebody say, it is a demon. When fear controls you, your decisions become illogical. You become ungodly when you are controlled by fear. And it's a problem because God is not the author or the generator of fear. The fact of the matter is, He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. I'm doing the best that I can. If you're ever going to be used by God, if you're ever going to reach your purpose and fulfill the assignment that Christ has for your life, you're going to have to overcome fear. You know you ought to be married by now, but you're scared. You're scared. Some of you should be preaching the gospel, but you're scared. Some of you should have started the business that God placed in your heart already, but you're afraid. You ought to have joined the ministry by now, but you're afraid. You should have witnessed to some people on your job, but you are afraid. You should have led a song in the choir, but you're afraid. People are going to laugh at you and say you can't sing. And yet God, the devil has kept you seated on your seat with that beautiful voice when you ought to be on the praise and worship team. You should be playing some instrument. You ought to be somewhere devoting your gift to the kingdom of God, but fear has gripped you and kept you in your seat. I thought this morning I ought to talk to you about overcoming fear. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to overcome your fears. Y'all even afraid to tell the person sitting next to you to overcome your fear. You're afraid just to talk to somebody, let alone anything else. You're scared. You're scared. Listen, you got to come up off of that. You got to move off that page. You have to adopt a new mentality. You've got to have a new mindset. You can't let fear grip you, hold you down, frustrate you. You've got to have a mentality to say, I'm going to face my fears. I'm going to get up and move forward. I'm not going to let the devil hold me back any longer. There's a whole lot of things God has in store for your future, but fear keeps holding you back. I've come to the conclusion, y'all do know, I've come to the conclusion in my own life that I have achieved some of the greatest things in my life when I approach my fears. I've been telling people about my fears and how I was afraid to talk before large groups. But look at me preaching to y'all every Sunday. I overcame my fear. I had fear of heights. I couldn't go into a tall building. Couldn't go over in the tall building, over to the window, and definitely not to the balcony. Definitely couldn't open the door and go out to the balcony. So I faced my fears and went and learned how to fly a plane. Say, go ahead, Pastor. And yet those fears were holding me back from being able to achieve some significant things that God had for my life. If I never got over the fear of talking to large crowds of people, I wouldn't be the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. If I had not learned to address my fears, I wouldn't be able to fly to my preaching engagements. I got great joy. I had to preach this week in Columbus, Ohio. I took great joy in flying to Columbus, Ohio, doing my thing, and then flying back. Y'all ain't got to like me. Flying back at 26,000 feet in the air with no fear or anxiety. Hallelujah. I've overcome my fear. Look at your neighbor. Say, what fear do you need to overcome? Wait for an answer. Wait for them to say something. What is it that's keeping you back? What is it that's keeping you from being everything that Christ wants you to become? What is it that holds you back? What is it that you've scratched off the list of things that you want to do in life, but you put it at the bottom of the list, and fear has even caused you to scratch it off? You're never even going to try to do anything about it. What is that fear? I asked y'all a question. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Talk back at a brother. Did your neighbor tell you what their fear was? Go ahead, ask them again. What is your fear? Wait for an answer. Okay, now tell them you got to come over that fear. You got to get over that fear. You need to do something about that. And I'm here this morning to try to speak into your soul and speak into your conscience and speak into your mind and speak into your heart and give you the word from the Lord that it's time to come up off of that fear. It's time to stop letting fear control you. And here's what I love this story here, this story of Jehoshaphat, who God has given him an assignment and a call. And while he's fulfilling his assignment and his call, and God is using him, Jehoshaphat has taken realm reign. He is now the leader of the people of Judah. God has empowered him and anointed him. He has become the leader of the people, but yet they find themselves in a somewhat troubling situation. He's just a young man, 35 years of age. By the way, he would reign for 25 years from Jerusalem, but he had taken over from his father and he sought to please God, but now he finds himself in a troubling situation. Verse 1 says that it happened that the Moabites and the Ammonites came to do battle against Jehoshaphat. That's verse number 1. It says the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then verse 2 says something interesting that I found to be true in life. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, y'all know that whatever your issue is, there's always somebody who come to point out what your issue is. There's always somebody who gonna come and tell you, you know they don't like you. And there's some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they're coming. A great multitude is coming. There's always somebody who's coming to try to boast your fear. And I need to tell you something about that. I've come to learn that it's not the persons who's the culprit. It's the spirit behind the persons that encourages you. It's really the devil who wants you to be afraid. And he's trying to speak to your fear. They say something's came, but and in fact, Jehoshaphat, verse 3, got scared. He feared. Verse 3 says, and Jehoshaphat feared. But the thing I love about this verse and the thing I love about this story is there's a comma after fear. There's not a period. There's not an exclamation point. There's a comma, and the comma means the story doesn't stop with him being afraid. The difference between Jehoshaphat's story and yours is that Jehoshaphat has a comma, you have a period. You ain't done nothing about what God has called you to do. You got afraid and period, it stopped right there. But we're going to come right this morning. I have the assignment and the call and the mandate from God. I think I better come down on the floor because y'all ain't talking to me while I'm up here. I might need to come down on the floor and get right up in your grill and talk to you today, because I'm trying to change that period into a comma. Pull out your ink pen, pull out your spiritual ink pen, put it right on that period. And we're going to turn that period into a comma so we can write the rest of the story. Somebody say, we got to write the rest of the story. We're not going to stop here. I'm not going to stop and be just a number in the church. I'm not going to stop and just be somebody watching the choir. I'm going to sing. Somebody say, I'm not going to stop and just watch pastor preach every day. I got a call to preach myself. Somebody say, I'm going to change my period into a comma. Instead of everybody else talking about their business, I'm going to get my own business going. I'm going to put a comma and write my book. I'm going to put a comma and write the music God has put in my heart. I've been singing it to myself in the shower, in my basement. I'm going to start singing it to everybody else. I'm going to record it. There's a comma. Somebody say, there's a comma going right there. Look at your neighbor and say, stop being afraid. But he didn't stop there. There's the comma. And then it says this. He did something about the fear. He addressed it. And here's what it says. And I'm going to tell you what to do right here. It says in verse number 3, he set himself to seek the Lord. Somebody stick a pen right there and say, seek God. You got to get in God's face. You've got to get in the presence of God. He sought God, and I like that. And here's what he did. It even tells us what he did. He set himself to seek the Lord, and here's what he did. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And the people turned their plates down and they sought God. How many of y'all know when you turn your plate down, God will respond to your needs? Thank all five of y'all for that rousing affirmation. He turned his plate down. God moves when you could just turn your plate down. It's not a question of how long you fast. Just make an effort to seek God. Make an effort to turn your plate down. They turned their plate down. He sought a fast to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I'm challenging somebody today who's gripped by fear to turn your plate down, seek God. And then it says, I can't stop right there. It says, Jehoshaphat, Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah, verse 4 of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, y'all see that? And here's verses 5 through 9. Here's the next thing he did. He not only fasted, but he prayed. Somebody say he prayed. And I want to just say something about his prayer. It says he stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new courts and said, verse 6, O Lord, our God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nation? And in your hands is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Y'all missed a great spot to shout amen. What, Pastor, what are you saying? What, I'm trying to get you to understand that when they prayed a prayer that not only reminded God of who he was, it reminded them of who God was. Somebody need to say, God, you're the God of heaven. You're the one that rule over all the kingdoms of the land. All power and might is in your hand. You drove out the inhabitants of this land and you gave it to your descendants. You gave it to the descendants of Abraham. Here's what you need to say. You need to say, aren't you the God who delivered me out of my frustrations? Are you not the God who healed me of my diseases? Are you not the God that changed me from what I was to what I am becoming? Somebody need to say, aren't you that God? Aren't you the God that opened up my blinded eyes? Aren't you the God that changed my life? Anybody here can make a declaration that he is the God that changed your life. Their prayer was reminding God who he was, but also reminding themselves who God is. And I think it's important that you and I remind ourselves about the awesomeness of our God. He's an amazing God. Somebody say, he's an amazing God. Hold up, I can't stop right there. Verse 8 says, and verse 7 said, but how about the descendants of Abraham took over the land. God drove the inhabitants out and gave it to them. Verse 8 says, and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, listen to this, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple. Okay, I got to explain everything to y'all. Y'all missed a great spot. They built this great temple. And they said, they make a declaration. They said, God, we're praying because we know that if anything comes up against you, if anything seeks to challenge you, if anything comes to try to destroy you, we if disaster comes, verse 9, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, and we know this temple will stand. Why? Because your name is in it. Y'all missed a great spot. Here's where I'm shouting. Somebody say, here's what I'm trying to get y'all to see. While the enemy is threatening your life and making you think you won't survive and making you think that you're going to die and the cancer going to take you out and the condition and the sickness is going to defeat you, here's what God is saying. Here's what Jehoshaphat prayed, and here's what you got to pray. Say, Lord, I'm going to live because your name is in this temple. Y'all didn't hear what I'm saying. Somebody say, this temple. I'm a child of the Most High God. His name is written all over me. I've shouted his name. I've preached his name. I've sung his name. I proclaim his name. His name is in this temple. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, I'm going to live because his name is in this temple. High-five him on the other side. Say, his name is written all over me. Hallelujah. I wish I could get somebody to help me shout. His name is all over me. I woke up this morning because of his name. I made it through the week because of his name. I've got a dance in my feet because of his name. I've got a shout in my heart because of his name. That name Jesus delivered me. That name Jesus freed me. Can I get an amen from somebody up in this camp? Thank God for that name. When you get in trouble, just call on that name. It's in me. Look at your neighbor and say, you're his temple. His name is over you. His name is in you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Because I got his name. Y'all still... I'm trying to let it go, but I keep thinking about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I'm trying to go on, but I keep thinking about his name. Hey, Muhammad didn't change me. Buddha didn't change me. Confucius didn't change me. Jesus changed me. Oh my goodness, I got 5 minutes. I gotta hurry up. So they sought the Lord. And they prayed, they turned their faith, they fasted, they prayed. They sought God, they fasted and they prayed. And then God answers them. In verses 14 through 17, God answers. And can I talk about God's answer? Because what God said to them, he's also saying to you. In verse 14, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. So God, the Spirit of the Lord came upon this man, and he speaks, verse 15, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and specifically you, King Jehoshaphat. Look at your neighbor and say, put your name right there. Let me translate that for you. Listen, all you in Glen Arden and you inhabitants of Maryland. And you put your name right there. Thus says the Lord to you. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. Why? For the battle is not yours. But God's. I feel a shout coming on me today. You got to live your life understanding that there are seasons and times when you don't have to do anything. God say, I got this one. Woo! He said, I got this one. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do can change it. He said, the battle is not yours. Somebody high five your neighbor. Say, the battle's not yours. The battle is God's. Oh, I feel a shout coming on me. The battle is not yours. It's God's. The battle is not yours. It's God. Matter of fact, verse 17, slip, slide. I don't have time. I gotta slip and slide. Verse 17 said, you won't even need to fight in this battle. You won't have to file a lawsuit. You don't have to argue. You won't have to make no phone calls. You won't have to call EEO. You won't have to hire no lawyer. He said, I got this one. Somebody help me give God a shout. Hey, the battle is not yours. You will not need to fight. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. Woo! Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Woo, I feel a shout there. Now we got this word. Now what do you do next? Since the battle is the Lord's and you won't have to fight, God gives his response. Now I'm going to tell you what you need to do. This is my third and final point. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Somebody tell your neighbor, all you got to do is worship. All you got to do is give him praise. You got to learn to stop looking at your circumstance and recognize that God is still God, regardless of what the circumstances look like. See, your problem is you keep making a determination based on what you see. But all I'm trying to tell you to do is stop looking at your situation. Tell your neighbor, stop looking at your situation and start looking beyond that and see a God who's greater than your circumstance. Hey, and worship him. Bow down and give him praise. As a matter of fact, the text says, I like this right here, I'm almost finished, I gotta hurry up and close, I gotta bring this in to a conclusion. It says, verse 19, the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. I'm trying to find somebody that will be loud and high. I'm trying to find some people who are not afraid to open their mouths and make some noise and give him some praise loud and high. Somebody say, you can't make me down here. I know too much about it. I'm not ashamed to open my mouth. About praise and worship. There's something powerful about opening your mouth. There's something anointing that breaks chains and calls demons to fall down. That even in the midst of your circumstance, you say the Lord's name is still worthy to be praised. I know what the doctor said. I know what the boss said. I recognize what the circumstances say. But my God is greater than the doctor. Greater than the boss. Greater than the circumstance. Hey. Hey. Hallelujah. Verse 21 says. Verse 21 says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and was saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Before the army went out, he said, I'm gonna sing the praise and worshipers out. And he looked out amongst the people and appointed singers. I'm about to appoint some singers. And you get to sing, 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 and you sing, and you sing, and you sing, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you sing, and you sing, and you sing, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. I'm appointing somebody to make the declaration that the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. I'm trying to find somebody say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised. Hey, hallelujah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out. Hey, hallelujah. Okay, hold on. One last, can I tell y'all one last thing? In verse 22, put verse 22 up on the screen. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Wait, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Y'all missed a great spot to shout. Judah didn't have to pick up a sword. They didn't have to pick up a weapon. God made the enemies kill themselves. Somebody better get ready to shout, because the people who are trying to kill you are going to turn on each other and defeat each other, and you go win. Hey! Okay, I thought y'all would shout on that one. But y'all didn't shout. Maybe y'all shout on this last thing. In verse 24, it says, so when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Wait. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Somebody better get ready. You're about to get the spoil. They tried to take you out, but God is going to give you the spoil. Who am I preaching to today? More than you can carry. Take you out, but the devil got defeated. They tried to get you fired, but they gonna get fired. You gonna take the spoil. I prophesy it today. I speak it over you today. More than you can carry, more than you anticipated, more than you thought would ever be possible. I'm trying to finish this thing, but it's all down in my soul today. I'm looking for some people who don't mind being Jehoshaphat this morning. I want y'all to help me run the devil out of here and help me give God a praise. Help me open our mouths and with a loud voice, high and loud, make that declaration that Jesus is Lord. His mercy endures to all generations. Hallelujah. He died for us. He was buried for us. But he got up out of the grave so your sins could be forgiven. Hey! Make it a practice of your life to seek God. Make it a practice of your life to pray. Turn your plate down. And when you pray, remind God and yourself, aren't you the God that delivered me last time I was in trouble? Aren't you the God that made a way out of no way? Aren't you a God that defeated the devil? You're reminding God and yourself that God still has power. He has not stopped being God. Somebody say amen. Give the Lord a shout. Somebody here today has backslid and drifted away from God, and you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord. You got bitter with God. You got upset. You got mad because things didn't go the way you wanted to go. God's calling you to rededicate yourself afresh to Him and let Him show Himself strong and mighty to you. Somebody's here today, you don't have a church home. Make your way out. Come on down and say, you know what? I need a church. And I want to be a member of the First Baptist Church of Glenline. Come. This is the time. This is the moment. Somebody's not sure. You're not positive. Come. Somebody today needs to come and say, you know what? I need assurance. I have doubts and questions, and I need assurance. Come right now. Somebody's here today, you're not saved, you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus, you've never been born again, you haven't been regenerated, you want to put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Make your way down and come right now. This is the appointed time. Don't put it off, don't delay it, don't let it pass you by. Hallelujah, this is the moment. That's right, come right now, right this moment. Amen, amen. Praise Him, praise Him.
When my back was against.
When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, You made a way.
And we're standing here.
And we're standing.
Only because
You made a way. When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, You made a way.
Thank You, Jesus. We're standing here.
And we're standing here only because You
made a way.
Made a way.
When our backs were against the wall.
When our backs were against the wall.
Thank You, Jesus.
And it looked as if it was over. You
made a way.
Made a way.
And we're standing here today.
And we're standing here.
Only because.
Only because You made a way.
Made a way.
Made
me a favor. Turn to the person next to you and say, are you right with God? Ask them. Just say, are you right with God? Are you saved? Do you have a church home? Are you backslidden? You need to rededicate yourself. Don't be afraid. We come to bind that spirit of fear right now in the name of the Lord. Jesus, we rebuke it. Come on, don't be afraid. Don't let fear hold you back from coming and saying yes to the Lord. Right now is the appointed time. Today is the day. This is the moment to come and say yes to the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a shout for these who have already come.
Glory! Glory! Hallelujah!
The person behind you is a counselor. They're going to take you in the back, sit down, talk to you, find out why you came, give you the instructions on what you need to do. All right, let me pray for you. Father, have mercy in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
I pray
God.
Your power and might upon each and every one. Pour out Your spirit, meet their needs according to the promise of Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. That's a patty cake for me. Now just give the Lord a shout for drawing these people.